Well, greetings, friends. This is John O'Gwen. We're continuing our Bible study series here in the book of Judges. Now, as we come to the latter part of the book of Judges, right here in chapter 17, we pick up the story of some miscellaneous events that had happened at an earlier period, at an earlier time during this period. Chapter 17 picks up the story of a man by the name of Micah who lived in Mount Ephraim. Now, chapter 17 and 18 tell an interesting story and a lot of parallels that we can gain. This particular man that we read of here in chapter 17, Micah, was not a particularly reputable man. In fact, he had stolen some money from his mother. And he was, his mother, though, he was the apple of her eye. And when finally he got scared and sort of confessed to her, she thought, "Oh, my wonderful son." And he gave her back the money. And his mother said, "Well, I have dedicated this silver to the Lord from the hand of my son." Now, what was she going to do with what she had dedicated to God? She was going to make an idol. You know, just like a lot of people, she thought, and Micah thought, that religion was sort of a good thing. You could worship God sort of the way you wanted to worship God. The reality is, we have to worship God. If our worship is to be acceptable, that worship must be according to God's truth. It must be according to God's revelation. So she wanted to make this idol, and she did, and this little silver idol, all these little silver trinkets were made and hung around. Micah actually made a little chapel, as it mentions in Judges 17:5, a house of gods. And he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So Micah had religion. We're told here in verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That expression is used over and over in the book of Judges, emphasizing the fact that when people do what's right in their own eyes, as opposed to doing what God says, there are terrible, calamitous consequences. Well, one day there was a young man from Bethlehem, Judah. He was a Levite, and he came along on his way, and he passed through Mount Ephraim and spent the night there. Came there to where Micah was, and Micah was hospitable. And Micah asked him who he was, where he was from. He said, "Well, I'm a Levite from Bethlehem, Judah." And he says, "I'm looking for a place." You see, because Israel was doing what was right in their own eyes, a lot of the Levites had fallen on hard times. They didn't have an inheritance specifically, except God was their inheritance. Well, this young fellow was sort of looking for a place to preach. And Micah said, "Oh, well, hey, dwell with me." Verse 10, "You can be to me a father and a priest. I'll pay you 10 shekels of silver a year and give you a suit of new clothes and all you need." And the Levite went in. Now, you know, you go through the Bible, you show me one place where God's servants were ever concerned about, "Well, now, how much do I get paid?" God's servants preach the truth because it was the truth. False ministers preach for hire. They're hirelings. This young man was a hireling. Micah said, "I'll give you a good salary." And he said, "Well, you know, that sounds good to me. I'll just stay right here and be a priest." Micah was all excited. Verse 13, he says, "Now I know the Lord's going to do me good. I got a Levite for my priest." You see, Micah had sort of a superstitious approach to religion. He wanted to serve God, but he wanted to serve God his way. He thought he was in good shape. He had a Levite for a priest. Now, there was no king in Israel in those days. We're reminded of that. Now, at this point, the tribe of Dan was scouting out some areas, some new territory. And a number of them came by Mount Ephraim. And verse 3, they came by the house of Micah, and they recognized this young man, this Levite. And they said, "What are you doing here? Why, we've known you before. What are you doing here?" And he said, "Oh, well," he says, "you know, I found a job. I'm preaching here for Micah. I'm sort of running this thing, and I'm his priest. He pays me well, and I really like that." And they said, "Well, look, we want to know whether our way is going to be prosperous. You're a priest. You tell us what God says." And the priest said, "Oh, by all means, go in peace. Lord will be with you." Well, they departed, and they went up, and they conquered this city of Laish, later renamed as the city of Dan. Well, as you come on back down through the story, what you find is that a whole group of them come by, of these Danites, and they came back by the house of Micah, and they came here to this young Levite, and they saluted him, verse 15. And they came up there to him, and verse 17, they came to this little house of gods Micah had built. They went in, they took his idols, they took all of his religious trappings and paraphernalia, and the priest was standing there talking to the soldiers, and he looked, and he saw these men coming out with all these little idols and little images and things that they had there, and he said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "You better hold your peace, fella. Don't be talking to us, and I'll tell you what. You can come with us, and you can be our priest." Now, what do you think is better, being the priest of one man or being priest to a whole tribe? Verse 20, the priest's heart was glad. Oh, boy, was he excited. He'd gotten a promotion. He was now going to get a bigger salary. You know, he could preach anything they paid him to preach. A lot of preachers are that way. In fact, most of them. They want to find out what the congregation wants to hear and what the pay is, and they can sort of tailor their message to match it. God's true servants never do that. Well, the priest's heart was glad. He went and departed. Well, a little while later, Micah came back, and guess what? He found out his priest was gone, and all his religion had been taken with it. Well, Micah came rushing out, and he was all upset. Verse 24, he says, "You've taken away my gods that I made. You've taken away my priest." And they said, "Boy, you better be quiet. Don't come talking to us. You let not your voice be heard." You know, we got some fellows have sort of a short temper. They'll get a hold to you if you keep talking like that. So he went back home. They came and took the priest there to the city of Dan. He became a priest. And verse 30, they set up the graven image. And this young man was Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son, actually, of Moses. In other words, he was actually Moses' grandson. That's the proper translation. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity. They set up Micah's graven image. You see, they thought they could worship God and somehow get God's blessing. All they had to do was pay lip service to God. A lot of people have that attitude, that idea. Well, there was no king in Israel in those days. Chapters 19 and 20 describe a terrible event. Chapter 19, actually 19 and 20, go on through this terrible event. Here was a Levite actually coming down, journeying, and he had a concubine that he was bringing with him, and she was a very loose woman, an immoral woman. Here was a Levite who should have been setting an example. Instead of having a stable family, he just had a woman that he was sort of living with, and she was not a moral person, and she got involved in some immorality, ran off with somebody, and finally went back to her father's house. And several months went by, and her husband got to, this Levite got to wanting her back, so he went down there to try to make up with her. And the story is they stayed there for a period of time. And as they sat down, they ate and they drank, and he sort of boozed it up with her father. And finally, the time came, they were going to go. Well, as you come on down through the story, you find this event, this terrible event that took place, where this woman was actually taken and raped and died. And it talks about that in verse 22. It says, this is the story he was telling, as they were making their hearts merry, you know, sitting there drinking, sort of boozing it up. Men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, beat at the door, and demanded, actually, what they really demanded was that the man be brought forth. So here were a bunch of homosexuals, and they wanted this man. Well, somehow he decided that what was better, as is described, was to put a woman out there, put his daughter out there. And the story is told, and this woman actually dies as a result. Horrible situation. Gruesome story. You see, the book of Judges is the story of what happens when people do what's right in their own eyes and they disregard God's instructions. They don't want somebody telling them what to do. They don't want a strong leader. So the result is Levite, this very gruesome situation, he actually, the woman is actually cut into pieces, and parts of this bloody carcass are sent throughout the land, throughout the nation. Well, this stirred up everyone. This was a horrible thing. And the whole nation gathers together, and they're going to punish the children of Benjamin. This had happened in the territory of Benjamin. And so they gathered together, and they said, tell us, chapter 20, verse 3, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, you know, her, that was actually his concubine, he told them the story of how he came there to the area of Gibeah of Benjamin, and he and his concubine were going to dwell there, and these men and this perversion they wanted to perform, and how they had ultimately killed the concubine. You know, his attitude was he was ready to push her out there to take care of himself. So they got together a great army, and they said, sent word to the tribe of Benjamin, verse 12, and they said, what wickedness is this done among you? You know, this terribly perverted act, all these terrible things. Well, the children of Benjamin gathered together, and they said, you're not going to talk to us that way. And so there was a great war, and the men of Israel rose up, verse 18, and you find that they go out to war, and that the Benjamites are just undergo a tremendous slaughter. And it describes this battle and all the thousands of Benjamites that were slaughtered. And verse 24, the children of Israel came up against the children of Benjamin the second day, and there were many more thousands slaughtered. And this went on and on. And it describes, further events. And this ongoing battle and war between the other tribes and the tribe of Benjamin. The Benjamites, verse 36, saw that they were smitten. The men of Israel gave place, and then there were all these attacks and this battle going back and forth, and men lying in wait. And it describes, again, thousands and thousands of these Benjamites that began to be slaughtered over and over. Finally, it got down in verse 47, there were 600 men that fled into the wilderness. In verse 48, the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the sword and destroyed everyone. To set the cities on fire. Well, finally, the Israelites had actually taken an oath that none of them would allow their daughters to marry the Benjamites. They were so mad and so upset. Now they began to sort of think about it and feel badly, because here was a whole tribe, one of the 12 tribes, that was on the verge of being wiped out. Here were 600 men left, and the rest of the tribe had been destroyed. And they said, well, now, what are we going to do? We all took an agreement, we took an oath that we wouldn't allow the Benjamites, we're not going to give our daughters to them. So they sort of cooked up this plan, and they said, we're going to have this feast here, and we're going to allow the men of Benjamin to come and to sort of capture, quote unquote, some of the women, some of the young unmarried girls, and take them off, and we won't really give them to them, but we will allow them to come in and sort of seize them and take them away. And that's actually what happened. And so this is the story, because they could see that there was a tribe that was going to be destroyed out of Israel, as it mentions in Judges 21:17. So at the feast in Shiloh, this event took place. And they told the Benjamites to wait in the vineyards, verse 21, and if the daughters come out and dance, any of them you catch, you can have. What a crazy mess. What a problem human beings get themselves in when they go off away from God and just sort of pursue their own way and do their own thing. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Well, the children of Benjamin took wives, verse 23, and the children of Israel departed, every man to his own tribe. And the book of Judges ends up, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is the result. The story of the book of Judges is the result when everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. That concludes our series on the book of Judges. And so, until next time in this series on the former prophets, this is John O'Gwen for the Living Church of God.